Billy Collins is one of the most accomplished American poets of all time. He gains new readers with each best-selling book, and he's received the highest honors in American letters, including serving as the U.S. Poet Laureate for 2 terms. His style is friendly and accessible, and full of surprises and humor. Billy will be the guest of honor at the U of A's Poetry Center's 50th anniversary celebration. He's hosting an afternoon at Centennial Hall this Sunday at 3, with a reading and a Q&A session to follow.
I'm happy to be returning to Tucson for the celebration of the Poetry Center's anniversary. I think I've visited there more times than I can count, half a dozen anyway. My original appearance there was in the old Clabbered House where the Poetry Center had its origins, the place where I believe Robert Frost came to be their inaugural speaker or guest. Mm-hmm. And I was very happy to watch the center grow architecturally and in other ways. And the result is this rather amazing building, chock full of poetry and people interested in poetry. I can claim that it is the largest and certainly the most magnificent freestanding building in America devoted exclusively to poetry.
What can people expect from your appearance coming up at Centennial Hall?
A highly entertaining and spiritually uplifting evening. I don't know. We'll just hope for the best. I mean, there's a certain procedure in poetry readings. I imagine, many people have never been to one, and many people might think, well, why would you go to, get out the door and get in the car to drive somewhere and hear someone read something to you? Why not stay at home? Besides just being in the presence of the poet, and I mean that modestly because I've gone to readings of prose writers and poets, and the main reason I've gone in a few cases is having spent so much time reading them, I actually wanted to take a look at them, see what they look like, and see how they talk, and what kind of tie they're wearing, and that kind of thing. But a little more seriously, I think, what people experience at a poetry reading is some kind of communal feeling. Poetry is a very private act, the composition of it. And I think in most cases, the reading of poetry is quite solitary. And, you get down a book of poems and you read a few poems to yourself. And there's a privacy that's attached to both the composition and the consumption of poetry. At a poetry reading, you have, a multiplicity of individuals who come out of their reading rooms and come together, and there's a sense of a kind of pooled isolation that is experienced, and that can be interesting.
Hearing you read your poetry, you seem very comfortable doing it in a public setting. Did that come easily to you?
No. Public speaking, I've read, is the number one fear, number one phobia of Americans, far exceeding the common phobia such as claustrophobia or fear of heights. No, I was just as nervous as anyone would be. It got to the point where before really good speaker systems, when one would read at a library, there would be a lectern, and under the shelves of the lectern, behind which you were standing, there was an amplifier very often with all these wires coming out of it, and that's right where they would put your glass of water. So my mouth would get so dry from nervousness, but then I thought if I reached down under into the dark area in the shelving of the lectern, there was a combination of electricity and water waiting for me down there. So that would make me more nervous. And then I thought, even if I, managed to get the water without electrocuting myself, I would be shaking so much that it would spill all over my shirt by the time I got it to my mouth. So that's a sort of brief, picture of my early days of reading.
I just figured I would figure out
how to do that. And you can steel yourself to those kinds of performances through just through breathing and relaxation and exercises, which I would kill you if I told you what they were.
It's a secret poet brotherhood
thing. Secret tantric Bardo breathing.
It does sound fascinating. Well, let me ask you this. Have you seen the video of the three-year-old boy reciting your poem, Litany?
Well, I've not only seen it, I'm ashamed to say I've watched it about 25 times. I'm completely astonished by it. If anyone goes onto YouTube and you just type in three-year-old reading Billy Collins, you're in for an astounding experience. When I first heard about the video on YouTube back in May, I looked it up, and it had about 400 or 500 hits. It now has, I think, over 300,000 hits, which I would say, for poetry, may be considered viral. I'm actually, through some internet sleuthing, I'm actually in touch with the child and his mother. I'm more and more in touch with his mother. And I'm going to meet him. They live in Arizona. I don't know if you knew that. And when I come out to the Poetry Center at the university there, we're all going to get together. I'm going to meet this amazing child. His name is Samuel, which I think is a perfect name for him. But, you know, he can't, of course, he's 3 years old, so he can't read. And yet he can deliver lines such as, speaking of the plentiful imagery of the world. I mean, it's just incomprehensible how he does it. But, he'll be at the Poetry Center. Maybe he'll make an appearance. Who knows?
Do you think that memorization is easier for a child because their minds are so uncluttered?
I think this child is exceptional because the poem he memorized, you know, it doesn't rhyme. It doesn't have regular meter. It's one thing to, you know, memorize Mersey Dotes and Dozy Dotes or nursery rhymes and that kind of thing. But he didn't sit down to memorize it. He just heard it a lot. I think it was maybe a recording I made of it. He liked the poem for some reason, and his mother never forced him to listen to it or recite it. She just noticed that he was listening to it a lot, and then she said, "Can you say that poem?" And much to her astonishment, he said it word for word.
I ran across a notation about your mother and her ability to memorize things. Is that accurate, what I read?
Well, yeah. She this was all when she was a schoolgirl. Growing up in rural Ontario, Canada, some time ago. She was born in 1901. And when she was in school in the early part of the 20th century, memorization was still a very respectable approach to poetry. In fact, it was probably the only approach. I think there was very little, critical interpretation was not in style then. So I was the lucky person to have a mother who had internalized a lot of poetry and who would recite it very casually. She would not kind of say Wednesday night is poetry night, and she'd, you know, with recitations after dinner. Bits of poems would just be braided into her talk. She knew so much poetry, a lot of Shakespeare. So as a result, I grew up thinking that poetry was not a specialized academic subject. It was part of everyday life.
How do you keep up with your ideas?
What ideas? Well, I think little notions come to me.
Yeah.
Just something I notice, something written or something that occurs in nature. And I'm not sure what it is. I think there's kind of you develop an eye for this kind of thing. As poets, I think we, like novelists or dramatists, we only have a few themes. There are only a handful of human emotions, and with lots of nuances. But I think one develops an eye toward recognizing points of insertion, to the start of something. I'll give you an example. I was in Central Park a few days ago in New York, and we were walking past the carousel there. The carousel's been there since I was a child. Well, it's been there, as it turns out, since 1830. And there was a little sign outside the carousel area, and it described the history of the carousel, a little informational thing. And it said that originally, before electricity, the carousel was powered by a blind mule who turned a wheel by retracing its steps in a basement, unlit basement, directly under the carousel. Well, that was more than enough for me to start writing. I mean, I just recognized the potential there of the gaiety on top and this poor blind mule going in circles in the dark. The poem continued into kind of my inner mule, you know, turning, walking around inside of me and making me do things. So, but I mean, that was a typical example of seeing something that I recognized had poetic potential.
An Afternoon with Billy Collins and Friends is a benefit to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Poetry Center, and it's happening this Sunday, November 7th at 3 p.m. It will also feature appearances by Jennifer Lee Carroll, Howard Altman, David Fitzsimmons, and Ernesto Portillo. We have a link for ticket information on the Arizona Spotlight page at azpublicmedia.org. The University of Arizona Poetry Center is an underwriter of Arizona Public Media.